Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Wasn't he pointing the other way?
Of course, people do go both ways.
This is Nerdish, She Wrote, with your host, Dave Dufour.
With Mo DeKeel.
Are you ready to be entertained?
And Seth Partnow.
Hello, and welcome to Nerder, She Wrote. Here on the Athletic NBA Show, I am Dave DeFort, joined as I am each and every week by my guys Mo DeKeel and Seth Partnow. What's up, fellas?
Oh, Dave, not a whole lot, buddy. Not a whole lot. There seems to be some interesting basketball games on TV, though.
I know, and it's April Fool's Day. So happy April Fool's to all those who observe the holiday and think that it's the start of the new year. One of my favorite little bits when I was a kid.
You stepped over my joke. I was going to say today we're talking about Formula One.
Oh, yes.
I just finished the show.
It's great as another newly minted American expert on Formula One. That's all we were gonna. But obviously, it being April Fool's, that wouldn't fly. So,
I have an opinion though.
Yes. Let's hear it.
I finished the new season. I still have no interest in watching the races right now. I'll just wait till next season comes out.
He's going to binge the F1 season.
And then I'm an expert. No,
we've gotten to a new place in sports where we're going to have people binge watching an entire season of a sport after it happens.
No. A documentary about a behind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically hard knocks for Formula One.
Can't wait till they do this for lacrosse and try to make that a thing. It's probably not going to happen. Guys, we have some special stuff coming up later on in the show. We've got little no dunks action coming over, some nerder trivia for April Fools. And I tried to make the questions as hard as I could. Let's just say we've already recorded it and it went better than I expected. These guys are all pretty smart.
The trivia went well. Dave's hosting question
was awful. It was bad.
Will not be asked host Family Feud.
No, never.
Or The Price is Right.
No, I will never be mistaken for a game show host at all. Definitely not good at that thing. But what I am good at is talking to you guys about basketball, I think. And I want to talk about my favorite thing, which is Jose Alvarado. This guy is sneaky. And I say that as a compliment. You guys have seen it. He hid in the bench over on the sideline the other night playing against the Blazers. He's wearing a red jersey. I think that he just blended in with the staff of the Blazers, and he snuck up behind the ball handler, whose name escapes me because I was so focused on Jose in this, and steals the ball. And it's not the first time he's done it, Mo. We've seen it already, and he's still going to get it. I think he's going to do it a couple more times.
It's not the first time he's done it in a week. He did it against Chicago and got Caruso to travel, you know, and this time not at the bench, but standing just kind of hiding along the baseline and then showing up there. And it was during like crunch time. It was within the last 5 minutes of the game and forced a turnover there. Just real crafty and brings up just memories of Jose Calderon. Was it Jose Calderon?
Pablo Prigioni. No. Pablo Prigioni
doing it, you know, and hiding behind a coach.
This does not seem like the most Jose Calderon thing of all time.
No, you're right. You're right.
Full court pressure was not his thing.
No, very much not. But clever stuff. Just, hey, do what you got to do, man.
I love this guy as a player, right? And these stories, they speak to us in particular because we talk a lot about two-way guys and guys coming from the G League. And finding a guy like this who is we could go to all the coaches' cliches, I think, with this guy. Gritty, a gamer, you know, all of these things. Joel Embiid loves him and his competitive fire. But Seth, this is the sort of stuff that it can go unseen, like, or at least unheralded as an organizational win, too, is finding a guy like this.
Not just finding him. And, you know, this is sort of maybe a point for, digging deep into stats in college. Like, I was not familiar with him, but then just looking at his stats in college, guy with a efficient score, mammoth steal rate in college. Like, those are in a good league. Like, that's the kind of thing that's an indicator of a guy you want to take a flyer on. And he's kind of shown that, like, that peskiness, that nose for the ball in the NBA. But yeah, so it's a good guy to take a flyer on. But then, get him in, get him on your team, and then have the coach use him and use him in a way that allows him to be productive. I mean, we've seen this. Gary Payton was sort of similar. Gary Payton, the current one, not the original glove, obviously. In that he had a monster statistical profile in college, but had never really found the right role anywhere. And now in Golden State, he's allowed to play a role that features his skill set, and his skill set allows him to be extremely effective in that defined role. And I think that that's something that New Orleans has done really well. They've done really well kind of around the margins on guys this year, you know, picking up Herbert Jones in the second round and this as well. So, you know, credit to them.
I mean, it goes a long way. Like, just look at the young kids on Memphis, right? And them finding guys that have helped them. Tyus Jones bouncing around the league a little bit, maybe not as hard to find a spot.
I only tried to trade for and sign Tyus Jones my entire time with the Bucks.
Right, exactly, yeah. Right? But like him bouncing around the league, you know, they had Xavier Tillman at one point, right? Like it's good practice, something you see from these teams that, hey, like we got to be smarter. This is how we find these young guys and how we develop talent. I mean, Isaiah Hartenstein for the Clippers, you know, he was rolling with the Rockets. They go to extreme small ball. He's kind of floundering around, has to make camp and make the roster with the Clippers. And, you know, then he does. And now he plays a huge role for them. So big, in fact, that like once Serge Ibaka came back, they felt no problem trading him. So it's kind of like the organization's finding these guys. It goes such a long way. It adds so much value to the team in terms of, you know, being able to add talent without having to, hey, we got to sign this guy to a massive contract, but we don't have the cap space, or we got to trades, or this or that. It's those are the key things that I think a lot of organizations tend to just miss out on. I mean, an organization we don't think about very often that does it, like, look at the Lakers. They found Alex Caruso out of nowhere, cultivated him.
Austin Reeves this year.
Austin Reeves is a guy that looks, you know, solid for them. They kind of do find these guys. There are some organizations that are very successful in pinpointing these guys and giving them a role and having them be successful.
I think that's a team that we often talk about. This is a sort of a natural segue into my favorite thing. Sorry, Dave, taking over the hosting role for a moment.
By all means.
The Miami Heat, again, I mean, like so much of, you know, one of the worries about them is, oh, you start to get past their top line guys and all of a sudden it's a lot of Gabe Vincent and Max Strus and Caleb Martin. And those guys have been really good for them. So that leads into sort of my favorite thing coming down the stretch, which is how tight the Eastern Conference is at the top, with four teams separated by two games. And for a couple different reasons, we're not really sure which between Milwaukee, Miami, Philly, and Boston, like, wants to come out on top. So it's going to be a fascinating last, you know, 5 to 7 games of the season among those teams.
And I mean, so Miami has been reeling, felt like they were falling apart. And we talked about this.
And Boston, they're first in the East.
Boston going the other direction, and then Robert Williams hurts his knee, and now everything feels different all of a sudden. I'm not saying that Miami feels like they're going to run away or anything, but they certainly have to feel better that Boston doesn't have Robert Williams, you know, Mo?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Miami, they would have wanted to play him at full strength anyways, just to have that their attitude about things, the Heat culture attitude of these things. But yeah, I mean, you're looking at it. It hurts the Boston Celtics just defensively. Like, there's no – Daniel Tice, really good player, is really helpful, big coming off the bench. Grant Williams, really good season for them this season. Al Horford has turned back the clock, has looked really great. None of those guys can duplicate what Robert Williams does, right? And that's just not just as a vertical spacer. He does a good job switching on the guards for the most part, being a good job on coming from the weak side for the blocks. None of those guys really can replicate that. And that's the problem for the Celtics in that scenario. But it also just shows how fragile the season is and how quickly things can turn on a dime. And I think we tend to overlook that a lot in
in these runs and things like that. It's particularly when we say, we've said this before, we've had this conversation, so I won't dive deep. But when you go, oh, this team's just lucky. Yeah, you got to be. Because it doesn't take much for your stuff to be completely derailed. And for Miami, they got to feel like, all right, hey, we might have caught a break here.
I mean, there's no better example of that than Phoenix. And I don't mean last year. I mean this year. Because think about it, the All-Star break. Chris Paul gets hurt, breaks a thumb. It's like, well, that's worrisome. I don't know about the timeline of that. And now they haven't missed a beat, and he's back a couple weeks before the playoffs, and it seems like it's going to be fine. A broken thumb doesn't always work that way, and they seem to have caught a break themselves in that the injury they suffered didn't actually turn out to be that bad. And in fact, gave Chris Paul's legs a rest for a couple weeks, which for a guy who can wear down in the postseason probably isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, and this is, it actually kind of blends into what I'm saying here for my little spiel here. I find it very fascinating that the Dallas Mavericks have moved into third right now in the Western Conference, because now it puts them in a situation where it's not inconceivable for them to end up in the conference finals. We don't know what's going on with Ja Morant and his knee. So that's, you know, if everything goes in the second round, they're going to avoid both the Warriors and the Suns, right? And in the second round, and then face a Memphis team that, as good as they've been without Ja Morant, need him for the playoffs. And this is going to be a fascinating thing to watch. And it kind of goes the same thing in the Eastern Conference. Like, teams are going to be trying to avoid, you know, Milwaukee. I would be trying to avoid Philly at this point, you know, like, whatever. You're going to have some weird routes. It's the route to the finals here for some of these teams that is going to make a big difference for them.
The interesting thing about Dallas is just that they have kind of come out of nowhere, you know, and it has changed. Everything has changed for them once Luka came back from the ankle, and then the Spencer Dinwiddie trade, because it opened them up to tap into some of these small lineups that has really raised their ceiling. And you can see it when they play against a team like Utah. They play their playoff matchups.
Who they might match up with.
I know.
Like, that's like, if you're Utah, you just got to be like, damn it.
And now in the East.
At least when we draft to six, you're thinking, hey, we're going to be able to avoid Dallas at four. What do you mean they're at three?
The East is actually really funny, because I think the race is actually to avoid the two seed, because you do not want Brooklyn in the first round. And Brooklyn,
where's Brooklyn going to end up, though?
I just think that, I don't know. I mean, they're currently eighth as we're recording this on Thursday morning. They're eighth, a half a game ahead of Charlotte and a full game ahead of Atlanta. I have to think that they're going to hold them off for the next week.
But the 7-8 game is in Toronto.
No.
Right now it's in Cleveland.
Cleveland, that's right.
Cleveland has a two-game lead over Toronto. Or Toronto has a two-game lead over Cleveland for the sixth spot. I think that's pretty safe.
And nobody should be mad at Seth. This thing has changed so many different times. It's honestly like a late game where the scoring goes back and forth. It's unbelievable. I was
like, because last week we were talking about, oh man, the Heat, the, you know, scuffle on the bench, what's going on? And I look at the standings, oh, they're leading the East. And it's just like, that's the way it's been in the East all season, is this team is scuffling, and, you know, for a long time, oh, the Bulls are going to drop off. And they have a little bit by now, but they're still like, you know, they're only – they could conceivably sneak into home court in the first round themselves.
I honestly think teams are overthinking this to avoid Brooklyn for a couple of reasons. Right. Listen, yeah, it would suck to have to play KD and Kyrie in the first round. But have we seen this team play lately? They can't stop anybody. Right. And if Ben Simmons isn't going to play and isn't even going to get any games in before the playoffs, they're not going to stop anybody. They're just going to hope to outscore everybody. And a lot of their offense lately has looked your turn, my turn between Kyrie and KD. I'm not that afraid of them. If I'm Milwaukee, I wouldn't be afraid of them. If I'm Miami, yeah, because there's a lot of issues I have with Miami in general. But I think, like, going out of your way to, like, especially with, we don't know if they're going to finish seventh, eighth, you know, like, I think just going out of your way to avoid those things, It's a little bit silly, because you can't control it. Worry about the things you can control. Just go. Because here's the other thing. We thought the Warriors were going to win their second game in the play-in tournament against Memphis, and they lost. It's a one-game run in these situations. You know, there's a possibility they might lose the first game, might lose the second game and be completely out. It's not out of the realm of possibility. So I think teams just got to stop overthinking this. Do what's best for your team in terms of getting your guys ready for the playoffs and just roll.
I think your best argument there is, hey, they could lose two games in a row. Like that's like so I will say that just from a standpoint of having to win three series, that is a more dangerous first round series than I would say certainly against Chicago or Cleveland, and as unfun as playing the Raptors would be. I don't think the Raptors are especially dangerous to any of the top four teams aside from Miami, who I think their offense could just go in the crapper and they could find themselves out.
We also said this about the Lakers last season.
Yeah.
And again, if the Lakers have stayed healthy, I still have my thing. I still think Phoenix loses that series. But like at the same time, it's like we always just kind of put that. Just stop worrying about this and go play.
That was a tougher – I mean, that was a tougher seven seed than yeah. – like, you know, you, congratulations. Yeah, you get LeBron in the first round.
So's Brooklyn. Right. Like if even if we didn't have the play-in tournament, so Miami's just going to try to drop out of one and have, you know, and hope that they can kind of just pull it together. Like Miami's got problems in general against any team. I mean,
I think the other biggest reason not to try to manipulate this year is you could easily manipulate your way down to fourth. And that's, you know, having to go on the road twice is not ideal.
It's hard. So you just got to be careful with these things. And hey, man. Basketball gods can be vengeful.
I mean, look, the Warriors, look, there's a scenario in which the Warriors are the sixth seed in the West, getting Steph Curry back. Like the Mavericks could be the three seed and the Warriors could be the sixth seed. Congratulations. Now, Steph, you got to deal with Steph Curry.
I mean,
I'm so pumped for the playoffs, man.
Honestly, who is even not just like who's favorite? Like Dallas has home court, but Golden State's like favored in that series, right?
Probably. If Curry's
back. Right.
I would, you know, the thing is, everybody just thinks like he's going to come back and be fine right. like that. It's a foot injury. Like this is a big, this is a level of like conditioning and things. Is your wind right? How's your feet moving? It's not going to, can you take a hit and be okay? Can you deal with, you know, the bumps and things like that? It's, there's a lot of questions with that. You know, and we tend to do this with guys when they come back with injuries. Doesn't help when Paul George comes back from an injury and drops 30 every time he does. But it's going to be a thing. I think you're right. Just they'll be favored, but I don't know if they should be. Because I just think with Dallas, I like the way they're playing. I think their small ball lineup's really good. They got good team energy, the way we always kind of talk about. Not that the Warriors don't. I just have too many questions about some of the guys on the Warriors. You know, Jordan Poole's been awesome. Can he keep this up? I don't know where Andrew Wiggins has gone. You know, like there are a lot of questions there with the Warriors that I've been talking about. This is something I've been talking about all season. I'm very curious to see how it pulls out. But I also don't think they'll drop to six. I think they'll kind of roll in here at four.
Yeah, I think so too. Although I do think Utah will level out over the last like six games or whatever they have left. They're not as bad as they've played. They've been unhealthy and I think they've been a little bit disconnected, but they'll likely be better. But the race in both conferences is just so tight. Like it's going to change by the time this pod comes out.
Do we
buckle up, folks?
I mean, this is a question we should put a pin in for, you know, a week or two from now. How much do you trust Dallas in a playoff series?
Oh yeah, that's going to be because now once we get to our playoff stuff, we'll get to talk some of the coaching.
It's not that just we're going
to
see,
but I do think there is some coaching stuff that they need to be concerned with going into a first round series.
It's also just like, you know, I agree with you that Dinwiddie has added something to their team. I don't know if you really count on him to keep shooting close to 40% from three as he has in Dallas. So I do think that is something that he's added more to them than frankly I thought he would. At the same time, there's an aspect of unreality to them being as good as they are just when you look at from a personnel standpoint. And you know, a lot of the mix and match and these guys do that, like those things kind of go away as factors in the playoffs.
I would for me, it would come down to who do we trust more. It's really going to come down to matchups. That's going to be the thing. Who do I trust in these matchups versus these matchups? And the thing for me, just with Dallas, I know we'll get into it deeper stuff here, but just for Dallas, I feel like they found the flow. They just found how to play with each other. And it's a product of like, yeah, I wouldn't trust some of these dudes in general, but with how they're playing and in this flow and the rhythm that they're in, kind of got to trust them a little bit. And I think that's kind of where I'm at with the Mavs, and that's expert analysis right there. You know?
Well, look, we it's all very unpredictable right now, and we will definitely dig more into that question. I think that there's a few teams that we need to kind of discuss how much we trust them in a playoff series, and Dallas certainly isn't one of them. I mean, Utah, after their loss, the blowing a 25-point lead to the Clippers.
We don't trust Utah.
We don't trust them at all, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we don't need to discuss it, but we will, obviously, as the playoffs get started, we will talk in those terms for sure. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back after the break. We got Team Nerder versus Team No Dunks. Nerder Trivia, April Fools. I'm trying to make these guys look foolish. And then, you know, I also just made myself look a little silly too. So yeah, we'll be back with that after the break. It's April Fool's Day, and here on Nerder, she wrote, "We're no fools, at least we like to think we aren't. And so we invited some friends to prove that we're no fools. And hopefully they themselves are not fools. Introducing our challengers, fresh from the Classic Factory in Atlanta, by way of Canada and Australia. The only man in basketball podcasting that I know of to both host a show with a python around his neck and receive an atomic wedgie from Shaquille O'Neal on national television, the host of No Dunks, J.E. Skeets.
Hello, hello.
And his partner, the decider of very solid plays, and the international man of mystery, Lee Ellis, Team No Dunks. Guys, welcome to Nerder.
Thanks for having
us. Yeah, here we go. We're going to be fools. Let's do it.
I made these questions really hard.
Oh,
and of course, the defending champs, because, you know, we make the belts. That's why. The man who ended the Elam. Mr. One Mo Thing, Mo DeKeel.
Damn right, Elam's dead.
And his partner, the destroyer of the mid-range jump shot. Did you guys know? I don't know if you guys knew this, but he wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seth.
Big shot.
Now. All right, guys. So here's how the trivia is going to work. We're going to do multiple rounds. Each team will get a question with four possible answers. If the team misses, the other team can steal. Simple concept. These are the Athletic NBA show trivia rules. If you have a problem with them, that's aschlecht@theathletic.com for all complaints. And so let's jump right in, because these are really hard questions, and I think that there's some good conversations that may come up around them. So we will start with the visiting team, Team No Dunks.
Okay.
Name the top four offensive rebounding teams in the league.
Memphis.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we can go at it. We can talk it
go
out.
Go for
yeah,
it. And okay. You can talk. So talk to each other. And Skeets, you were the designated captain of your team. And okay. Mo is the captain of Team Nerder.
Okay, Lee, yes. Let's do this. Grizzlies, we are basically locking in.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Where do you want to go?
That's one.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, I assume this is... What did you say? Offensive rebounds?
Offensive rebounding
per game here.
Per game.
Who gets a lot of second chance opportunity? Miami, maybe.
I know that's my mind went there too, but top four.
Yeah,
offensive rebounding has come back. Like we talked about that a lot on this show. A lot of the up and coming coaches have been pushing for it.
Up-and-coming coaches, eh? So let's maybe throw Cleveland in there. JB Bickerstaff.
Oh, I like that. Cleveland. Yeah, they got a bunch of seven-footers.
Let's go
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully Jane throws a buzzer in there. No, sorry. So three possible points on the board for Team Nerder.
Brutal.
First of all, this whole game is under protest by us using counting stats. I just want to.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There we go.
Instead of percentages, I'm already thrown off. So, Mo,
who are some? First off, he gave the hint with the up and coming coaches. We know it's not JB Bickerstaff.
Yeah, I'm thinking Boston since they play two bigs a lot.
We don't
answer yet.
I wasn't sure. Not there with you. Okay. Let's take a look. What do you think of Orlando?
I mean, there's a lot of missed shots there, so there are a lot of chances.
Of missed shots.
Yeah, I was gonna suggest Detroit for sort of the same reason.
Ooh, Detroit's a good one too, especially with Beef Stew.
Yeah,
big dude right in the middle. Who else we got as young up and coming coaches?
Oh, New Orleans.
You want to go with New Orleans?
Yeah, I think I want to go to New Orleans.
New Orleans is one. Yes, there we go. That's a there point we go. For Willie Team Green. Nurse. So two possible answers left.
We should have got that much quicker, Seth, with how much he waxed and waned about Willie Green last week. We should have known that was coming.
Well,
who else? God, I'm so tempted to Google this when nobody's looking.
Philly.
No, sure as hell, not Philly. Up and coming coach, so Spurs with Pop.
Not all of these are up and coming coaches. I'm just saying, you know, we've talked about the rise of the offensive rebound, right?
It's not Pop. What do you think of Milwaukee?
No.
Okay,
good talk. Bud's a get back, especially with Lopez out all season. Bud's a get back guy.
All right, good talk. Phoenix?
They don't miss any shots.
It's a good point.
There's got to be a timer on.
I'm going to give you guys 10 seconds here. I'm sorry. Right. Thank you.
You want to go with Detroit? Let's go with Detroit.
Yeah, let's do that.
Detroit.
No. The other two teams are Toronto and the New York Knicks. I am disappointed that you guys didn't get that one.
The Raptors.
Yep, exactly. All right. Team
Nerder.
You guys
have to turn in your Canadian passports.
Are those Canadian offensive rebounds or U.S. offensive
rebounds? That's right.
There's a difference.
Team Nerder. Here you go. Name the top four teams in offensive rating.
For the whole season?
As of right now, on April Fool's Day.
Right, we're not doing any of this whole thing where the Celtics have gotten hot.
Utah.
Yep.
Is that
Utah's
an answer?
Utah's an answer.
That one.
Oh, no! No.
Seth, you're the numbers guy, Seth. What the hell?
Oh no.
Okay, that's Team No Dunks with the opportunity here to.
What was the question again?
Top four teams in offensive. Oh no! Hang on a second. I might have to edit this real quick. Did I do the?
I was gonna say the Jazz.
I did. You know what? My bad. We're gonna.
No! Leave it all in.
This is
no.
Jake, unbelievable from our host.
Okay.
No.
So Utah.
You can just say yes.
Yes. Yeah. Utah is correct. That is a point for Team Nerder.
I was
the winner
is
La La Land. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It really was. I looked at the wrong set of answers. So I love that. Okay, go ahead.
So we got them.
Utah is one.
Where do you think Dallas is? Is Dallas not up there?
I think Milwaukee is up there.
Oh, no. You know what? You're right. Milwaukee's definitely up. We're going Milwaukee.
Is incorrect. Wow. Milwaukee, actually fifth.
I'm not listening to Seth.
Come on.
Fifth?
I was there.
Three
was right there.
Possible options left for Team No Dunks to steal some points here.
Lee, let's not overthink this. The Suns got to be, right?
Probably, yes.
Let's go. They have to be.
Okay. Suns are one.
Suns
Phoenix,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You know who might be up there? Charlotte. They might be up there.
I was going to say like a sort of a crappy team right around there. Yeah. I wonder about the Hawks.
Okay, yeah. Either one. I've got a feeling it's the Hornets, though. For some reason, I saw it.
Man.
Because their offense was never the problem. It's just their defense.
Okay, so you want to go Charlotte. I want to go Atlanta. This is the problem. This is the play-in battle here.
Let's play the homer card then. Go Atlanta.
Yeah, I think they do have a better.
Okay, yeah, you're probably overall. Right. You're probably right, yeah.
Okay, Kaka, okay. Hawks.
Hawks, yes. That's a point. Good stuff. One team left.
So now, Charlotte.
It could be even, I mean, the Rockets, I think, were up there too.
The Rockets? Really?
I think they were.
Top four? We don't need to overthink that. That's a good team. Grizzlies.
Golden State, the Grizzlies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go Grizzlies. Let's just go.
Okay, Grizzlies.
Memphis it is. Wow. That's a steal.
Nice.
You don't have have to overthink it.
Seth, I feel like
that's all you, Seth. Like,
we feel like Jose Alvarado.
Even nerds,
Alvarado,
the
right?
Nerds overthink
it's
it.
So
that's
good.
Dummy.
It's so good. Okay, back to Team No Dunks for the second round. Now, we talked a lot on this show about, and including last week, the first 20 games of a season usually tells you more about what the playoffs are going to look like than anything else. Who were the top four seeds in the East after 20 games?
Whoa.
Miami was one.
That's a point.
You think so? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, Chicago, probably.
20 games. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I think so.
You want to go Chicago?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Chicago.
That's a point.
Okay. What about Cleveland?
Oh.
Mm. Oh, Brooklyn.
I mean, what did Brooklyn start? How did they start?
Yeah, I don't have any remember. I can't remember at all.
So far away. So long ago now.
I mean, what, Cleveland? We were talking about them so much.
Yeah, they got off to a hot start. They did. Yeah, let's go Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yeah, and?
No. Oh, holy shit.
No. Yeah, you know what? I've got. I just remembered something now, and I don't want to give it away.
All right, we said
give it away. Give it away, Lee. Give it away. Go ahead.
Team Nerd.
We know it's not Utah based on.
Well, it's the East.
We'll also be. See, now Jade has to leave it in.
Team Nerder.
Seth, who are you thinking? First 20 games. We know Chicago is up there. We know who else did they say?
They said Chicago and Miami.
Right. And they got it wrong on Cleveland, right?
On Cleveland, yeah.
They were probably about fifth. So
Brooklyn and Philly are the two that I am.
Oh, Philly's definitely. Ooh, wait a minute. They started out 8-2, but then Embiid got hurt. And we got COVID.
Yeah.
Crap. And they plummeted after that.
It's a long season.
Hawks, wasn't the Knicks.
No.
Wasn't the Celtics.
Was it Charlotte? No, they didn't start out that well. That
let's bank the one we're it's not the Bucks. Let's bank one. Who do we have? Brooklyn?
You think it's Brooklyn or Philly? Because I thought Philly, but then they lost. You want to go Brooklyn?
Need an answer.
Yeah.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, yes.
One more
team. Do you have it?
Who else is in the East right now? Who the playoff picture right now?
I'm gonna give you 5 seconds. And dead
air. Is it Washington?
Washington Wizards. Yes. That's a point. Wow. At the buzzer. Yeah. Amazing.
That's a pull. I would have never said that. Yeah.
All right. Oh, now, Team Nerder with a chance to you guys can open up a lead here if you hit all four. Who were the top four seeds in the West after 20 games?
Phoenix.
That's a point.
Golden State.
That's a point.
Yeah.
Dallas started slow. Utah.
Is that an answer?
Hold on. Seth, how do you feel about Utah?
I feel good about Utah.
Utah?
That's a point. One left.
Yeah.
One left. Who started out? It's going to be something funky.
Memphis? Or did they come on later?
Who is this?
Memphis?
No, they started Memphis out or, slow. They started out yeah, slow, so, and then Ja got hurt.
So Memphis or Dallas would be the other one that I would.
Ooh, I thought Dallas started out a little bit slow. Somebody.
You're right. They did.
It was a. Do you think it was Denver or the Clippers? It's going to be something kind of funky like that. Sure as shit wasn't Sacramento.
Yeah, or the Lakers. It's definitely not the Lakers.
Are we sure it wasn't the Lakers?
Very. They were like, yeah. Very.
Okay, so who do you want to go with?
Who do we – if it's not like Denver then, I think.
Okay, we're going to Denver, and if we're wrong, I'm blaming Seth.
Okay, well, blame Seth because you're wrong. Ah. Team No Dunks, opportunity to steal a point and tie the game because you're currently down one.
You got a feeling on this?
I think it was the Clippers.
Really?
I believe so. Yeah, because it was definitely wasn't the Lakers or the Kings, the Rockets. You know, the Spurs, no, Thunder, Pelicans, none of those teams.
So Nuggets were – they must have been like a 500 team or something. Like the Bulls were like a 500 team.
So it's only – there's only one or two –
Clippers. What did they start then? Like,
well, Paul George was playing. I think Paul George was –
that's true.
Paul George was MVP, like, you know.
Yeah, for like 2 weeks.
I think
okay, let's do it. Let's go Clippers. Yeah.
The Dallas Mavericks, guys, you forget that they had that great defensive run to start the year, and they looked so awesome. Currently, Team Nerder up 7-6.
This
is riveting. Okay, guys.
Seth, we would have gotten that if I didn't crush your hopes and dreams on that. My bad.
All right, here we go. One more round before the final round. Team No Dunks. Name the top four rookie scorers, points per game.
Okay, so let's talk this out, Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
Points Cade. Per game. Okay, yeah. So Cade is definitely going to be on there.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Scotty and Mobley are probably on
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
then is it Franz Wagner? Is it Jalen? Oh, it might be Jalen.
Ooh, Jalen Green, yeah. I think Jalen Green is probably.
Okay, so let's start locking some in. Yeah. Let's say Cade.
Yep.
That an answer?
Cade Cunningham.
Yes, yeah. That's a point.
Okay. Jalen is, and he's like done the whole Anthony Edwards thing here where he's like sort of slow start, but he's like killing it now. So he must.
Do the other two first, though, I think.
Really?
I think Scotty for
sure. Scotty. Like, yeah, okay. Scotty Barnes is Warlock and Scotty.
That's a point.
Yeah.
Now it gets close here, I think, with like what's Mobley average? 15?
I think he's around 15 and a half. Yeah, Wagner might like pip him by a point or two there, but I like Mobley and Green though myself.
I think, hold on. We haven't said Jalen Green. I think we have to put
Jalen Green. That's a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's now we're down to, we haven't said Mobley and we haven't said Franz. And Franz, Mobley what do you think? 16? I bet he's younger. Yeah. I bet he's under.
He's been hovering around that, but has Franz gotten more than that?
I think so, man. No one watches
the
magic.
Go for it. Yeah, go for Franz.
Go Franz.
That's a sweep. You got him.
Oh, baby.
You got all four. Yeah.
Good job.
Wow, that was excellent.
Franz.
Ooh, tough. All right.
So Mobley must be right there. Mobley's just below
those guys. It's really, really tight race for the rookie scoring title. You know, that, I'm sure we'll have that award soon.
Are you sure they didn't say Jalen Suggs? Are you sure?
Oh, no.
Definitely not.
I don't think anyone's talked about Jalen Suggs for a long time, Mo. All right. Team Nerder. Name the top four crunch time scorers. Points per game. You guys pay attention to crunch time more than anybody.
Dave, what the hell?
So Chris Paul.
This is points per game in crunch time.
Okay.
Oh no. So clarifying. Hold on. So it's Chris Paul, KD.
Well, I would guess Jason Tatum would be one of them.
Mm.
Even though they're not very good in crunch time.
Donovan
Mitchell's a good one.
He never passes in crunch time.
Who do you want to go with? Let's give him.
This is tough.
All these stats are from NBA.com, by the way. I want to just
really
point that out.
He really screwed us. He gave you guys the rookies, which is a small selection, and we have the whole league.
Luka?
Ooh, Luka's a good one. You want to go with Luka?
Tatum, I don't know. Tatum feels like the safest.
All right. Just terrified because they also started out so bad. Who else? Just draw other guys.
Ja.
Curry.
Jokic.
Curry.
Jokic.
Jokic. We're going to go Nikola Jokic.
Jokic is one.
Yeah.
This is like actually really nervous. And I don't
I was hoping you were going to say him because I was like, he's got to be.
So Luka.
You want to do it?
It's between Luka and Tatum for me.
Well, we're going to go Luka Doncic.
No. No. Oh. I know.
Ooh, Lee.
We gave them
Team
all the
no
answers.
Dunks. Team no dunks.
DeRozan's
going to
be in there.
Okay, let's talk it out, Lee. Yeah, DeRozan. Yeah. I think Tatum is interesting because, like Mo said, he doesn't. I mean, they do obviously have crunch time games, but not a ton.
Yeah.
Okay, should we just go DeRozan?
Go DeRozan.
Let's go DeRozan. Yeah, we're going DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan.
We were stupid for leaving him off.
Two guys left.
And then we have how many left? Two?
Yeah, Booker might be in there as well.
I know. Yeah, he could be. I'd rather go Booker. Yeah, they're like the record's like crazy. He gets the line.
Sorry, is it points per game? Did you say or
points per game in crunch time for NBA.com stats? Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be Paul or Booker.
Let's go Book.
Go for it.
Is it John Morant and Joel Embiid? John Morant actually leading the league in clutch scoring per game. Okay. So heading into our final question, Team No Dunks, 11 points to Team Nerders, 7 points. Guys.
Whoa. We had 8.
Wow. Oh, sorry. Wow. 8 points. You're right. That's a
protest.
My tally protest. Marks here. Protest. Chicken scratch tally marks. I'm glad. By the way, I also, this is so perfect that Seth was keeping his own score.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And you see why. Okay. So the final round is going to require a wager of sorts from you guys. Okay. So it's tough. I'm going to ask you a question that has a lot of responses. You're going to decide how many names you can correctly guess without missing. Right. If you say 5 and you get all 5, you get 5 points.
Right.
If you guess wrong, you lose 5 points. I just made these rules up because I've never seen that before. And I wanted to make it punitive if you lose. Mm. So I promise this is a very tough question. I know how hard it is. I will let you hear the question first and then you will give me the wager.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of the point.
Who goes first?
We're gonna let them go first because you guys are losing. Okay.
Okay.
So Team No Dunks goes first. Here you go. The overall number one seed, Phoenix Suns, have had 22 different players on their roster this season playing games. Of that 22, 13 have gotten at least one start. Can you name 9 of the other players that have played without starting? So of the 9, how many can you name that have played without starting?
Oh, that's dangerous.
Well, we don't need to go too far, though, because...
We have such a good lead?
Yeah, we're up by 3. If we say maybe 3, put it out by 6, I mean, that's still going to be tougher, I think, because of...
I mean, how many, like, just, like, sort of quickly off your head do you feel very confident have never started a game for the Suns? I'm, like, 2.
Yeah.
But I'm not even sure. They may have started.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. There's a couple of guys I'm thinking of. Oh, he's been there, but maybe he didn't start. But then maybe he did start for one game. That's why I say just maybe 3. So then if we lose, we don't lose too much ground either.
Okay, let's play it smart. Okay, we do have a nice lead. All right. Yeah. Let's go okay. 3 guys.
3 points. Okay.
So 3, we're going to name 3, hopefully.
Yeah.
Phoenix Suns players that have played in a game this year that never started a game for them. Oh, my God. Okay. I think I got one.
Bismack.
He started. Guaranteed. We've talked about him on the show starting, I remember. There's no way Bismack.
JaVale didn't start those games?
See, I think this is why we had to go so little.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Kaminsky hasn't started.
Has he played?
Yeah, Kaminsky's played. He right at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, okay. What about then Jalen Smith? He's not on the team anymore. Yeah. But he definitely played.
I feel okay. I swear there was like that. They had a different center of every night, and I feel like there was like a stretch. Yeah.
I feel like I'm going back to my poker days here and want to put the hoodie up and the sunglasses on. And just
I think Kaminsky is a good call because he got it. You know, obviously because of the injury. Yeah.
Okay,
so let's go. We're gonna say Frank the Tank.
Frank Kaminsky has played in 9 games. Okay. Did not start any. So that's 1 of 3.
Okay. So we think JaVale would have started.
I think these centers are going to get us. I'm worried to say Bismack. I'm worried to say JaVale for sure.
I'm not sure. I'm worried to say
Jalen Smith.
Yeah.
Because I think they all probably had a moment there where they started.
Yeah. Okay. So campaign.
Who came over and trade? Who did they pick up like through the season?
Holiday. Yeah. Aaron Holiday.
When would he have started?
No, he wouldn't have. So
Aaron Holiday
is 2.
Let's go.
Wow. Yeah. This is impressive, guys.
Who else have they got there? Who's not?
No, it's tough. I mean, can you name like an 11th, 12th guy on the team? Like,
if I can make a suggestion, I don't think Chris Paul has started this season.
I mean, campaign would have come in at some time, wouldn't he have started?
Has Torrey Craig started?
Hmm.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Maybe not, though, because they've got some good – they've got some of those good mids there. He's the sort of guy probably worth taking a bit of flyer at.
It's either like – I can't even
– I know. I've drawn
of,
a
like,
bit of
they're super deep guys.
Yeah.
Or even guys that aren't on the team anymore. Like No, I'm drawing. You want to say Torrey? I got.
Yeah, let's
else.
Go Torrey. Let's go.
We're
Torrey.
Going. We'll go Torrey Craig. You don't feel great about it.
No, yeah. Torrey Craig has yeah. two starts.
Wainwright.
On the season, yeah, Ish Wainwright. Oh. Chandler Hutchison would have worked, Abdel Nader.
I could picture him. I couldn't
has
think
Elfrid
of his
name. Payton started a game for them?
Yes. One
okay.
game.
Wow. I thought he might have. Wow.
Okay, so the Nerder boys, tie game, going into their final question.
Nerder men, by the way.
All right. And see, now this is where it's such an advantage for you guys. You're going to bet one, to win.
Or, Mo, do we want to run up the score or do we want to just win? Let's hear the question. Let's hear the question.
What it should have done is made you guys go for three here, but that would have been fair.
Exactly.
I actually think you guys should have to go for three.
All right.
Okay. You guys okay with me switching the rules midstream?
I decide. Look at me. I'm the captain here.
Okay, because in practice, this is way different than I expected to be in theory. All right, guys, so your question, and again, it's a tough one. The Clippers have had 23 different players on their roster this season. Of those 23, 11 have appeared in at least one game without a start. Name three of them to win the game.
Wow.
Good luck.
Okay. All right. Hold on. My dog was no longer interested in this question.
Keon Johnson is one.
Okay. We're going to go Keon Johnson.
That's one.
Okay.
Has David Boston started?
Serge started the game, right?
I think so.
Bledsoe started. I'm just running down their roster so nobody yell at me. We got to probably go here a little.
Has Amir Coffey ever started? I think he has.
I think he might have. Let's go ahead and go with your Boston guy.
David
Boston.
You mean Brandon Boston.
Him too.
I'll count that. Listen.
I'm thinking we got
David Boston. Like old, we got Brandon Boston. We got the Boston Ohio Celtics. State we got receivers, Boston right? Cream Donuts.
We need one more for the win here, Seth.
One
no
more
pressure,
and the Nerder boys win.
This is hard.
Has Isaiah Hartenstein started? He's played a lot, though.
He has played a lot.
I think Zoo's been there all season.
Who are some other guys that have played for them? Let's toss some names out.
What about the Nard Dog? Go with the Nard Dog.
Okay. <no.
laughs>
With PG missing time and things like that.
He's absolutely started. I'm just trying to like.
Yeah. It's.
I'm doing the name some guys thing.
we love that. Hey, what about this guy?
Yeah, this is where I wish I'd have paid more attention to like all the 10 days.
This one's tough. Did Justice Winslow start at all for them?
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah, he isn't.
All right,
guys, come on.
I think Hartenstein's a better answer than Winslow because of the injuries they've had on.
Do you want to go Hartenstein? For all the marbles, Seth.
You win if you get it.
I feel really bad for not being able to pull one of their deep bench players, but I just can't.
We're gonna go with Hartenstein.
Hartenstein has not started a game.
Wow.
Whoa. Wow. That
does Zubats, right?
Bro. Amazing. That was amazing. Congratulations to Team Nerder on retaining the titles in their first defense.
Let me tell you something.
How much money did we win?
That's a question for Jade. Team No Dunks, thank you guys. Skeets. Lee, this was awesome. We'll have to get you guys on for a normal show one day, but we wanted to do a little April
like
Fool's
more.
Trivia, and I thought that was a good time. That's going to do it for this week, folks. Don't forget, keep it locked in on the Athletic NBA show. We've got the playoffs coming up. Check out No Dunks. Go subscribe to them on YouTube. They're doing fun stuff. And No Breaks for all you F1 guys out there. We'll be back next week with another episode of Nerder, She Wrote.
Good stuff, guys.
Awesome. That was fun.
Thank you, guys.